Welcome to the Taking the Leaps podcast with me, your host, fellow leaper and coach, Rachel G. Scott. This podcast inspires you to take bold leaps of faith, but you won't be doing it alone. As we journey together through the fishermen, shepherds, builder, tent maker, and trailblazer leaps, my hope is that you will see how God is with you every step of the way and begin to confidently trust him as he leads you into your next leap. It's time to live a leaping lifestyle. You ready? Let's go. Well, hey there, family, and welcome back to our regularly scheduled program. Thank you for your patience last week as I share the powerful teachings and the summit with you. I hope that you enjoyed that. There were some great guest leapers. And if you didn't get a chance to hear the clips from the summit, go back and listen because they gave so much wisdom, so much insight. And the good news is you actually can still get access to the full summit. I will put that link in the show notes. But last week was launch week. So this is the Leaps podcast. And it was important for me to share with you all what was going on. But let me ask you this question. Dun, dun, dun. Did you get your book? Did you go grab your book? If not, what are you waiting for? I talk a lot about leaps in this podcast, but the way that I break things down in the book is completely different. So if you are listening to the podcast, you're getting a percentage of the full experience, and the rest of it I put in the book. Okay. So go ahead after you listen to this episode, go grab your book. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Okay. So we just came out of launch week. It was amazing. I mean, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. But it was amazing and it was so well worth it between the summit and the bonuses, the book actually coming out on launch day, all the momentum and, you know, the everyone that shared it and purchased the book. And then on Saturday, I had a launch gathering and that in itself was a blessing beyond words. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that launch gathering today because something happened during that celebration that made the celebration even better. So in order for me to share with you what happened that day, I have to give you a little background information. Okay. So let me give you a little bit of background because the story doesn't start at the book launch gathering. The story actually starts in January. So in January, I do a fast and next year it's going to be more of a fast and a dedication. I'll explain what that means as we get closer to that time. But in January, I do an annual fast with the I Can't Come Down community. And it's usually a 21-day fast. Now, this January was a little different because I knew I had the book coming out. And I had to be very intentional because there's a marketing window that you want to start really letting people know about the book before the book actually launches. So January and February were my window before March 5th, which was book launch day. So I needed both months, like the whole month, to market this book. However, as I started to prepare myself for that, I heard God tell me that I still needed to do the fast. And I'm like, Lord, I literally have 2 months. I already feel behind. How can I do this fast? Like, I don't have the time. I can't afford to do the fast this January. Can I just do it next year? And I heard him say, Rachel, you can't afford not to do it. So I'm like, okay, all right. Maybe, you know, God knows everything. He knows way more than I do. Maybe this fast is like what's going to take this book to bestseller. And I don't want to miss that, right? I'm like, this is the fast that is going to, this is what he's asking me to do. So I go ahead and I facilitate the fast. And I facilitate the fast and I participate in the fast. So I'm not just facilitating the fast. I'm doing both. I'm facilitating and participating in the fast. And so as I go through this process, I'm sharing resources. And quite honestly, I didn't get to do all the things for the fast that I wanted to because there were still things that I had to do for the book. Like that was still a part of my responsibility. So I was really trying to balance facilitating this fast, participating in the fast, and getting this book ready for launch week, especially now that I know my time was dwindling. At the end of January, we finished the fast. And now I'm like Zoom, like focused in on getting everything ready for the launch of this book. So the book launches on March 5th. Everything goes well, but we get to Saturday. And Saturday is the day that I have the actual gathering for the book launch. And that's already blessed because way more people showed up than I could have ever imagined or anticipated. And initially, I wasn't going to do a local gathering, but the library, who I have so much history with, I mean, it's ridiculous why I thought I would be anything but a writer, because I literally have spent my whole childhood and adult years in a library and my kids. So I don't know why I thought I was going to be a backup gospel singer when, yeah, but I digress. That day, I'm at the library. We're setting everything up. And so we just decided we're going to make this the event. We're not going to do two separate events. A lot of the people that I would invite to a second event are coming to this. This is going to be the book launch event. So we get cake. We get vegetables and fruit and cookies and balloons and all the things that make a party fun, right? So during the event, the first thing people did when they came in is they took the quiz. Okay. That's important if you haven't taken the quiz. Shameless plug. They took the quiz so they could come in and they would put on their tag what kind of leaper they were. So everyone, that in itself just started to build excitement. I would wave at people walking in and talk to them and do all the things. Now, as everyone was coming into the room, I noticed, you know, there was a gentleman that was in a wheelchair and I waved at him and smiled at him and just like I did everyone else. And so my sister, she started interviewing me. Half of the interview was me just telling the backstory of the book. The other half of the interview was me sharing just my personal life story. You know, just how did this all come about? And then at the end, we had a time of questions. So everyone asked different questions. Some people asked questions about the answer that came out for their quiz. What does it mean to be a trailblazer or a fisherman? And some people asked questions about the book writing process. And then this gentleman gets the mic. And when we hand him the mic, it's like the room just kind of gets silent. And he says, "Rachel, honestly, I don't have a question. I just came here to tell you thank you." He said, "During your fast in January, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to thank you for saving my life." I didn't know what to say. My throat had that ball in it that you have when you're ready to just cry. My brain was spinning with all the things going on. I was celebrating that a new soul came to Christ. And God used that moment to remind me why I was doing the work I was doing. It was always for the one. And I thought back to January, and I thought back to that moment when God said, "Rachel, you can't afford not to do it." And I'm thinking it's because of this great book opportunity God's going to do, these open doors. And God was saying, "No, you can't afford not to do it because I have someone that I need you to bring into the body of Christ." And I think about how for that one person, God put off a whole month of marketing of a book for the one person, because he does not want anyone to perish. And he knew that I would be willing to sacrifice promoting my book so that his will could be done. I learned so much in that moment, y'all. So much. When Monday came and I was in my time with God in the morning, I just wept. I cried, and I'm holding back tears now. I cried for so many reasons. I cried because I was excited to know that this person came to Christ. I cried because I was aware of my hesitation in doing the fast, thinking that it was about me. I cried because I was just in awe that God would even use anything that I do for him to bring people to Christ. I mean, it was like one of those cries where when you think you're done crying, you keep crying. I was thankful. I was repentant. I was all the things. Because I know for so long, I have been kind of losing sight of why God calls me to do things. I've made it about the book sales. I've made it about the clients. I've made it about the other Christian communicators and all the things. But it's not about any of that. He calls us to do the work so that no one will perish. And so when I think of just three lessons that I learned from that day, because that was what I was celebrating. Once I heard that, I was celebrating the salvation of this man. And the one thing that I learned is that our labor is not in vain. There are so many times through this process between having the I Can't Come Down movement, doing the podcast, writing, that I'm like creating devotionals. I'm like, Lord, is this reaching anyone? Is this meeting anyone where they're at? And God has sent people along the way. When I say my labor is not in vain, I mean for the salvation, for the souls, for the people who are being called to come to Christ in this hour and in this time. Our labor is not in vain if our focus is the one. The second thing I learned is that we have to watch Satan's tactics to divert us from God's plan. I like to say that he distracts us, meaning he distracts, he gets us off track. That's what he's attempting to do. And so all the other things that we do that are good work, if they are not what God has called us to do, then we need to really assess it. And you all have seen me. I have shared me assessing the work that I have been doing because I want to be in the will of God in every area of my life. And I could be doing good work. Me being a speaker was good work. Me being a Bible teacher is the work God has called me to do. And I am still learning this field. I feel like a baby in this area. As much as I love to tell people about the Word of God and I love to break down stories, there's so much that I feel like, I don't know. But yet I'm going to continue forth because I know that that's what God has called me to do. But I also see how the enemy tried to distract me. And I'm going to be honest, with good meaning, connections, relationships, opportunities, they were good, you know, but they were not what I was called to do. And so they were good, but they were not the path that God had for me, right? Let's be honest. What made the fruit something that Eve would eat? It was appealing. It looked appetizing. It looked good. And so I just want to encourage you, as I'm doing as well, to be very, very mindful of those things that look good, but are not on the track that God has you on. And then the last thing that this book launch gathering really taught me is to keep the main thing the main thing. I mean, all three of these things are basically the same thing said in different ways. In Proverbs, it says that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and the one who wins souls is wise. The main thing is winning souls. I have a spiritual mother, and that is what she does. Her focus is winning souls. But I know that God brought her into my life because that is what he wanted to remind me of. And all this good stuff that I'm doing and all these collaborations, connections with other followers of Christ and Christian communicators, if I lose sight of my responsibility to win souls, I'm going to be accountable for that. Listen, our leaps and our lives are not our own. God stopped an entire marketing plan for this one person to come to him. Like an entire month of marketing. He was like, nope, not for you, Rachel. I have something else that is so much more important than that. And I think about that day, that on Monday, when I was just like, I couldn't hold in those tears. I mean, it was a gratitude, it was joy, but it was just like, God, how have I missed this? How have I missed this? And I'm just so thankful for his graciousness and his kindness and his love because he knew where I would be on that Saturday. But he also knew that my heart would be open to being pliable and receiving what he wanted me to know. Rachel, it's about the one. I know that I'm not the only one listening that has not made the salvation of people the priority in all the good work that we're doing. And so this is not a beat you up conversation. This is a level you up conversation. But, you know, we get comfortable around our Christian friends and our Christian gatherings and our church community. And I'm not knocking any of that stuff because, listen, y'all, I've needed all of it and I still do. But we've got to look for the lost sheep. We sit in the chair and get our hair done and we forget to look for the lost sheep. We go to Starbucks in the Starbucks line. We wave at the people. They know our name. They get our order perfect. We forget to look for the lost sheep. We stand in the line at the third grocery store to get our food. If you're like me, you got to shop at 3-4 grocery stores, right? At the third grocery store to get our food, we stand in the line while the clerk scans our stuff and we forget to look for the lost sheep. They are out there. We just miss it. And so I'm inviting you into the same thing that God has invited me to, which is a reminder to look for the lost sheep. And when I say we, I mean you and me. I mean both of us. Like, okay, this is kind of unrelated, but I was at the mall the other day trying to find an outfit for this launch gathering. And while I was in the dressing room, my daughter was in the dressing room. I was in the dressing room, thought I found the outfit. The mall alarm goes off. And they're like, emergency, emergency, everyone evacuate. And I'm like, get myself together. She's getting herself together. We head out. And then my daughter was like, mommy, was that a real thing? I was like, I don't know. But all I know is I'm everyone. So I'm going to find out on the phone. I'm going to look it up. But I'm everyone. So when they say everyone evacuate, I'm everyone. They were talking to me. It's time for us to go. Okay. So when I say we, I'm saying both of us. Okay. All of us, whoever's listening, we have to look for the lost sheep. So listen, you should know by now that I share my life journey with you because I'm on the journey with you. And I've gotten so sidetracked. And as God brings me back to center, I'm just inviting you into that process with me. When that man spoke those words, it broke me, but it broke me in a good way. I feel like God was confirming the shift that I have made over the last couple months, deeper into the calling that he's had on my life and why he's called me to do that. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But he uses us to do it. All right, y'all. So I pray that this blessed you. I pray that it encouraged you. And most importantly, I want to remind you, go grab that book, okay? Don't forget to grab that book because then you'll understand why we take the leaps and why the sheep are so important. All right? Until next time, thank you for joining today's episode. I hope you were inspired by what you heard and you're even more encouraged to trust God with your next leap. Before you leave, take a moment and think of your community. Who do you know that could benefit from the wisdom shared in this podcast? Now take it one step further and encourage them through text, DM, or a simple conversation by sharing this episode. Let's make sure others know they're not alone as they obey God and choose to live a leaping lifestyle. Enjoy the rest of your day, and remember, God can do more with your willingness than he could ever do with your worthiness.